We're learning about the work of ski patrolling on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So I think of ski patrol as pertaining to their obvious duty, that is caring for an injured skier on the slopes. But there's a lot more to it. Worldwide, the National Ski Patrol consists of more than 31,000 people serving 650 patrols, some paid, some volunteer. We'll get into that. Are you a member of a ski patrol? How long have you been part of the patrol? What are your memories of helping others ski safely? 800-642-1234. Mark Anderson is communication advisor for the South Central Region of the National Ski Patrol. They train and support volunteer ski patrollers through 13 different patrols over multiple ski areas in South and Eastern Wisconsin. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So surely I don't mean to call out your age, but you've been skiing for better than a half a century. And then Ski Patrol came along for you in 2016, I think it was. How did you get into it?
Well, I had been thinking about Ski Patrol for decades. I remember probably 1969 watching a young patroller being evaluated on the hill. And I thought, I'm not sure I could ever do that. So when I retired, my wife wanted to get me out from underfoot, and so she encouraged me to check it out. And today we're both ski patrollers. So
I was going to say, I think both of you are.
That's correct. Yes.
Well, yep. So much for staying out of her business and you staying out of yours.
Do you exactly.
Crisscross each other on the slopes?
We do. We patrol. We have a shared shift on Tuesdays, so we do a lot of skiing together.
Can you describe a day in the life of a ski patrol member? What is it like?
Well, it depends a little bit on the hill that you are at. There's similarities across all patrols, and then each hill has some unique features. It starts before your shift begins. You sign in these days of COVID, you check your temperature and go through the checkoff sheet for COVID. We want to be safe at all times. You open the lifts in most cases, if not all. So you ride up the lift, making sure the lift is operating safely. You ski the runs to make sure there's no dangerous spots on the runs. And then you check the equipment, toboggans perhaps that are out on the hill, make sure they're all clean and easily accessible and ready to go. And then you patrol for the rest of the day, looking for opportunities to help people, dangerous situations, people who might need a little help, or even direction to where the bunny slope is. So you respond to an incident and take it from there and rely on your training.
That training so important. I would imagine it even goes beyond CPR. What kind of training is involved?
Well, it's a very thorough process. Both my wife and I aren't from any kind of a medical field in our professional lives. So the steps to becoming a patroller are basically selecting the patrol that you would be interested in and contacting that patrol. They will roster you on their patrol and you'll join the NSP organization. And then you'll go through medical training, which is titled Outdoor Emergency Care, which is a 3 to 6 month, depending on the patrol that's running the class, 3 to 6 month process. There's a written test for the knowledge content there. And there's a practical evaluation where you demonstrate proficiency with the skills and dealing with different scenarios. Mm. At that point, having passed those, you are a ski patroller, basic level. And then you move on to the on-hill training, which refines your skiing skills and techniques, all with an eye towards being able to very capably transport a patient in a toboggan to get them either to the aid room or a higher level of care. And that is an evaluation of both your skiing skills and your toboggan handling skills in both the handles of the toboggan and on the tail rope. And having done those things, the medical training in the summer and fall and the on-hill training when there's snow out there, you are now a alpine ski patroller.
It's a commitment, yes. Mark,
it is, yes.
Mark Anderson with us, communication advisor for the South Central region of the National Ski Patrol, getting us acquainted with the work of what a ski patrol does and what is involved in becoming one. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. What has been the impact of COVID? Because we've seen numbers that there are a lot of skiers out there topping some records. What have you seen at ski resorts here in Wisconsin?
The same thing last year, the 2021 ski season, we saw a lot of those record numbers of people getting out. And to some degree, there was a challenge for the hills to deal with the influx. It was a chance for people to get outside and do something pretty naturally socially distanced. And it made for a very busy year.
Well, when you have a lot of skiers out there on a weekend or during a holiday, how does that affect your work as a ski patroller?
It's really just volume. You're still doing exactly the same things. It's just you're probably going to be dealing with more interactions with the customers. And sadly, with more people may come more injuries. We hate to see that, but it's an active outdoor sport and things can happen.
We're going to look a little bit more at safety in skiing, but I want to ask you, this is a lot of work for a volunteer, and there has been difficulty, a shortage of getting ski patrollers to do this. What, you know, how do you look at that shortage or at this volunteerism?
Well, there's a lot of rewards that come with being a ski patroller. We can chat on those in a moment if you want. The 2020 season did see a reduction in patrollers in a number of spots. The National Ski Patrol offered patrollers an opportunity to remain a member of the Ski Patrol, but opt out of patrolling last year for, you know, health concern reasons. In my experience, I'm not aware of any hill being understaffed, but it was a leaner set of crews that would be available or people on the crew. The shifts were all manned or womaned, you know, the situation was safe, but there was just a little bit more activity going on.
It also, as you described the training involved, it made me wonder who pays for all the first aid training and the CPR recertifications and, you know, not to mention equipment you need to be a ski patrol.
Well, excellent point. At the beginning of your introduction to becoming a ski patroller, you'll probably hear the words that if you were thinking this would be a good way to get in some free skiing, you'd be better served by getting a season pass, and it'll be a lot easier. The vast majority of patrollers in Wisconsin are volunteer patrollers, and there are some costs that come along with that. Obviously, you have to have your own ski gear. You purchase your ski, your patrol parka and your backpack, and in a number of hills, you do the initial supply load into your pack. There's fees that go along with the various training courses that you do, and other recertification things, clinics you might attend. So it's the volunteer patroller who pays those fees.
Ski Patrol volunteer with the South Central region of Wisconsin, Mark Anderson, with us explaining what it takes to do this as part of the National Ski Patrol. Has a ski patroller ever come to your aid? What happened? Have you befriended a ski patroller in your years of skiing at a particular resort? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute with Mark Anderson here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a day in the life of a volunteer ski patroller on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. They help keep people safe on the mountain or the slopes here in Wisconsin. The National Ski Patrol was founded over 80 years ago, follows the motto of service and safety. They make skiing more enjoyable and safe, give first aid. Have you thought about volunteering? What would you like to know? How long have you been a downhill skier? What do you love about it? 800-642-1234. Mark Anderson of the South Central region with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Pete now from Mount Morris. Hi, Pete. What is your question?
I was wondering, is there an upper limit for age as far as being into the ski patrol, getting into the ski patrol? And number two, the time commitment, like how many nights a week, how many weekend days are required or expected?
Great questions, Pete. Thank you. Mark?
So on the first one, upper age limit, I'm not aware of any. I ski with patrollers who are into their 80s, and they ski smooth like butter.
Oh, awesome.
One of the most physical things is probably an extrication and the transport in the toboggan, and we refresh and recertify in our capabilities on that. And if someone gets to the point that that's not something they feel safe and comfortable doing, then they might not participate in that particular activity. But we always need patrollers in the aid room when we come in with an injured customer. From 18 to 80s is the age range. And there's also a young patroller's classification as well under 18.
What about the time commitment?
Well, the biggest time commitment is going to be your first year when you are a candidate. You'll go through that outdoor emergency care class. That's probably an evening a week. Different patrols have a different format. You'll also be doing your on-hill training as a candidate. So in addition to your normal shift, you'll have another point in the week, evening perhaps, or Sunday morning or something like that, that you are skiing. Once you're a full-fledged patroller, you'll work your normal shift. In my wife's and my situation, that's Tuesdays. So we start at 8 in the morning and we're normally leaving about 5:30 or 6 in the evening. Mm-hmm. Other patrols are more flexible. You sign up for particular, you know, Tuesday afternoon there, Saturday morning there, and you fill out your schedule as opposed to having a fixed routine. So it's probably one day a week.
Okay.
Plus any other training and clinics you're attending.
Well, let's go to Sarah now in Green Bay. Hi, Sarah. What's your story with Ski Patrol?
Hi. Good morning. I just had kind of a fun story. When I was in middle school, I was an avid skier and I was trying out snowboarding for the very first time at Nordic Mountain in Mount Morris, and crashed big, ended up breaking my wrist. And the person that came to my aid was actually my middle school gym teacher, who was my gym teacher at the time, but also a ski patrolman on his in his free time. And so it was kind of just a funny thing to have my gym teacher come and save me. And it was cool to see him in a different light. And I'm grateful that I knew him and that he could calm me down when I was panicky.
Oh, what a great story, Sarah. Thank you so much. Mark, you know, I bet this is what you really love to hear, these types of stories.
They are. That's a big part of, I think, why every patroller gets into it, is the opportunity to help people in their moment of need.
You received your first pair of skis in December of 1968, and you remember it well. What do you remember about your first ski trip?
Well, they were used skis. They came from the Army surplus store on the square in Madison. And we were ready to go skiing at Cascade on the 26th, but we got 18 inches of snow. And so instead of skiing, I shoveled the driveway all day. And the next day, my mom gave me a ride up to Cascade Mountain with a school friend who had kind of drawn me into it. And he started teaching me how to snow plow with those old cable binding leather boot setup.
And fast forward to the early 70s, you met your wife skiing.
I did. That's probably the best skiing thing. Skiing has been a big part of our life together.
I see a theme here.
It is. Yeah, we met in Wittenberg, Wisconsin, at Gus Nan's restaurant on a college ski trip to the Porcupine Mountains.
Oh.
And we got engaged there, too. And today I'm teaching my grandkids to ski. We've gotten them all started at about 3 years old, and it's a real joy to follow them down the hill and watch them do their stuff.
What would you recommend for those little tots as you put them on the hill for the first time? Give us some tips.
Well, I would highly recommend a lesson. Sometimes a child will listen a little bit better to someone else than they will to their parent.
Funny how that happens. Carry on. Yeah.
There are also, having gone through that, there's a harness, a training harness for little kids that you can get where, you know, a capable skiing adult can control the speed with a couple of straps from behind the skier, but they're still, controlling their skis and their body and so on and so forth, so they can get the feel of everything without any risk of getting out of control. And start on an appropriately easy hill.
My little ones are nervous about chairlifts. They don't like the idea. How can you get them accustomed to chairlifts?
That is a good question. I would have to think about that. One thing that I would recommend, most chairs are equipped with a retention bar.
Mm-hmm.
It flips down over your head. Those are there for a reason. Slide them down, and that'll help keep the parent be more comfortable about the little squirm worm that's sitting next to them on the patrol. The lift operators, if you talk to them, they will slow the lift down for you and help the younger ones, the shorter ones, get onto the chair.
Oh, they will. So you just have to speak up a little bit.
That's right. That's right. They want to help as well. The chair is a very safe thing. They are inspected regularly. I guess it would be a little bit unique to the child.
Mm-hmm.
A calming voice from the parent.
In terms of adults, you know, skiing carries that inherent risk of injury. What are your tips for staying safe while we adults ski?
Well, a couple things there. One, there is in Wisconsin law, there is a code of responsibility and conduct for a skier, knowing your skiing ability, being aware of the runs that you're going to be on when you get off whatever lift you're on, wear a helmet, those kinds of things.
Do you find that people don't wear helmets as often as they should? I mean, in my generation, kids didn't wear helmets.
You know, just the opposite. The majority, I'm going to say 70, 80, 90% of the skiers that I see are wearing helmets.
Okay.
They're warm. They're safe. My wife for 17 years ran the middle school ski bus. And when they began to require helmets of all the middle school kids on those outings, the trips to the aid room decreased markedly.
Wow.
So you can rent them. They'll come in the rental package. So if you don't own yours, you can rent one, but I highly recommend. And we try to lead by example, and patrollers, you're almost always going to see a patroller wearing a helmet as well.
Well, Mark, enjoy the visit. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mark Anderson is communication advisor for the South Central region of the National Ski Patrol. He's been skiing 53 years, signed up to be part of Ski Patrol in 2016. Ahead this hour, we talk about the SAT testing and changes. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.